Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. It's Sunday Bloody Sunday, especially if you had the Los Angeles Dodgers this evening. San Diego rallies back from a 7-1 deficit. Madison Bumgarner becomes the first pitcher to allow zero hits in a complete game short of the nine innings since Devin Hanczak for the Boston Red Sox in 2006. Only five innings. The last pitcher to allow zero hits in a complete game outing exactly seven innings was Sam Toothpick Jones in 1959. Those were the good old days when people had great nicknames, huh? Sam Toothpick Jones. Listen, to me, it's a no-hitter. It is what it is, but all that matters is that if you bet on Arizona, you won. And I actually believe that Atlanta only got one hit in the first game. I actually saw, I want to confirm this, but I believe the Braves set a record today. They're the first team to play a doubleheader and get one hit in two games. So, that's the type of day it was. I tell you, though, I also saw a stat for you number nerds out there about the Atlanta Braves. They have, like, the best and the second. It goes back and forth, but they're right there for the hardest, hit balls. You know, they measure this stuff now. And so, in other words, the Braves are murdering the baseball. They're hitting it harder, like the velocity off the bat and stuff. They're crushing the baseball, but they're hitting it right at people. It's one of those just sort of, you know, baseball things. So something to keep your eye on actually moving forward. I know the Mets are dangerous, but the Mets are favored to win a division right now, and they are the Mets. Bad things only happen. Good things don't. So as good as DeGrom is and everything else that the Mets have going for them, don't discount Atlanta, even though they've had a tough start to the season. So listen, I don't consider myself the biggest golf insider. I'm not like Babano's golf guy or anything like that. But, boom, we played one team this week in the Zurich Classic. We played one team. And I'm kicking myself for not playing more top 20s because I'm crushing the top 20s this year on the PGA as far as top 20 finishing position. But the odds weren't great. You know, I bet on a million games a day, you know, whatever. I got caught up in the golf's type, you know, the golf. It's like, oh, man, I got to get this pick in. And, but we got it in. Cam Smith and Leishman. I've been crushing Cam Smith, man, on these top 20 props. The Aussie's been making me a lot of money. Now the team made me money. Bring it.
Relax. You don't have to actually play these sports. Just know about them. Keep it here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Late Night Night continues. I am Renzi. We're chopping it up. Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. We're talking pucks right now with one of the ice guys, Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Babano, we were talking about Vancouver and Ottawa playing each other. Vancouver have owned them 6-1 this year, although, as you mentioned, Ottawa did get the win on Thursday night in Vancouver. Vancouver responded on Saturday, bounced back. I got to tell you, you know, I hit will a game go to overtime prop this week with the Islanders and the Capitals, and it was nice. It was nice to hit that. I wouldn't be surprised, Bano, if this game actually went to overtime. You know what I'm saying? Like you mentioned it, Ottawa are good at home. They're scrappy. They're playing better hockey over the second half of the season. Albeit, as I stated, guys, as we pointed out a lot, most of their success has come against Montreal, Toronto, and Calgary. And most of their losses are against Vancouver, Edmonton, and Winnipeg. It's just factual. I mean, you know, I mean, Edmonton went 9-0. Winnipeg were like 8-1. Vancouver 6-1. So, but with all that being stated, we, you know, we saw them. It was competitive over the weekend in Vancouver. What do you make of this one, Babano, when it's all said and done? Total 6.5.
Yeah, in this one, definitely. The total's tough, though.
Kind of high, Babano.
Yeah,
it's a playoff atmosphere. It's a playoff style game, bro, for Vancouver, man. That's a high total, bro.
Well, if it's Demko for Vancouver and it's Murray for Ottawa in net, and I would expect it to be. It's not a back-to-back. You got Demko playing great hockey. That's really for the last month, pre-COVID pause, he was excellent for the Canucks. And I think the first game he struggled a bit, but boy, he was a lot better.
But Babano, last six games. All right, so it was a 6 on Saturday with the push at 4-2. Before that, 5 straight unders. So basically, long story short, 6-1. The first time they played this year, they went over. Since then, every game has been under with a push.
Yeah. And Ottawa's been trending to the under lately, too. And it's because Matt Murray's played well in net. The defense has been solid. And, you know, they're really trying to play a better, tighter defensive system in a lot of these games. That's the way DJ Smith wants them to play. I know they've got Josh Norris and Stutzla and Batherson and Tkachuk and Connor Brown, Colin White, Dadanov, lots of good forwards. But they still want to be responsible defensively. They have been lately. Canucks have gotten step-up performances from Pearson's been good lately. This Nils Höglander, watch out for him. He's going to be a good prospect long-term for the Canucks. I like the way he's played lately. I think at some point, though, Gabe, in terms of making the playoffs, it's still a long shot. I mean, there's still a lot of points behind. They do have a lot of games, but I think at some point, the lot of games in a condensed period of time could catch up to them. No Elias Pettersson, you know, for the rest of the season.
Catch up
as
to
well.
Battle, I think, could, right?
Yeah.
Like they beat the Leafs, who were struggling, and they own Ottawa. So you're right. They're going to have to play some tougher games down the stretch, too.
They will. I think they're just going to, as Cam says, run out of racetrack a little bit here, Vancouver, at some point. But in terms of this game, I would
say that, Babano. Cam doesn't say that, Babano says that.
That's he took Ted it from you. My bad.
That's Ted Teeven's line.
And
all right, the great Ted Teeven. Yeah, but the thing is, I give credit to him. That's why people shouldn't use each other's lines. Yes. But nevertheless, go on.
They don't credit the originator, correct?
Well, we do, as people know. But you know what I mean? As I stated, yeah, yeah. Nevertheless, we just correct that. Thank you.
And I think you're onto something with the under. And as far as the side is concerned, like Vancouver needs the game. I wouldn't step in front of them, but I'm not going to lay a price with them against this Ottawa team. They're scrappy and they are really good at home, Ottawa as well.
All right, Ian Cameron with us. God, Babano, we're trying to keep it on track here. Now the rage levels are starting to build a little bit on a Sunday night. So the Colorado Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues play again. So this is the third time they're playing in the last six nights. They played basically every second night. So this is the third game. St. Louis did get the win on Saturday, Babano. St. Louis are in a dogfight right now trying to hang on. I think they will when it's all said and done. What do you make of the Avalanche? Minus 168 is a pretty big price. And, man, I'd like to say, ooh, I'll take St. Louis plus a puck and a half, but not at minus 192, I'm not.
Yeah, Colorado off a loss is not something I'm anxious to bet against. Maybe Colorado in regulation. I think that's the bet that I would go with here. Now, I know St. Louis really needs the points, and it was certainly a dig-down deep performance for the St. Louis Blues. But look, they lost Colton Parayko to injury once again in the game on Saturday, even though they beat Colorado. And you look back at the way the Blues played earlier this season when Parayko was out, they were bad. That he matters. He matters significantly on that blue line. He plays 5-on-5, power play, penalty kill minutes for this team. He's a pillar of strength on that blue line, plays a ton of minutes. And if he's not playing and he's out indefinitely, we don't know yet if it's going to be a long-term injury, but if he's out tomorrow and beyond, that's significant to St. Louis. The premise of betting against good teams off a loss, I don't love doing that. And that's the situation here for Colorado. So I'm not going to lay the money line price. I would probably take the Avs in regulation for better value.
One of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League this year have been the Carolina Hurricanes. And, you know, I don't know. You do buy into the Canes. Like, nobody ever really talks about them as far as, like, you know, cup contenders in the big picture. At least I haven't enough this year. But they have been very profitable. They've been solid. And they've been one of the more consistent teams all year, Babano. There hasn't really been a lot of ups and downs with the Canes. They've just been solid all year.
Yeah, I think their longest losing streak was maybe three games. Maybe they had 1 4-game losing streak. That's about it. I mean, they've been really rock steady, really consistent outside of that. 31-10, their record on the season. And they've been magnificent. They are an absolute cup contender. There is no doubt in my mind this team can win a Stanley Cup. I watched them enough. Rod Brindamore.
They're 11-1 right now. 11-1, just for the record. Throwing it out there. 11-1 to win the cup.
Yeah, the price has been adjusted a little bit. That's, you know, what you would expect because of the record they have. But what I like about Carolina is the system they play with Rod Brindamore. And he's brought this way of playing ever since he's been the head coach to Carolina. Puck retrieval, puck possession. When they don't have the puck, it's like five guys that are like a dog on a bone on the ice that do everything in their power to get the puck back. Puck retrieval. They hound the puck carrier on the opposing team at all times. And that's why they're one of the best teams in the NHL at leading the league in takeaways and forcing turnovers, because they are relentless when they don't have the puck. They want to get it back. They want to possess it. They want to forecheck and go to work with that style. And they've got the guys to do it. And they've got obviously the finishers offensively to make people pay, you know, for being hemmed in their own zone too much. When you talk about Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, Nino Niederreiter, I mean, this Carolina team has a boatload of weapons. Their defense, they don't have a Norris Trophy candidate on the blue line, but they have a great 1-6. All six of these guys are good. Brady Shea, Brett Pesce, Dougie Hamilton, Jacob Slavin. This is a great blue line. Look, they're playing Dallas, Gabe, and I know Dallas is desperate for points. They're trying to catch Nashville for that final playoff spot. But what's the price you've got on Carolina? I see the -125 right now about in this game at Dallas.
Yeah, the Carolina Hurricanes, the exact price, 126. So move to cent.
I'm going to bet against Carolina at that price, Berensi. They're better than Dallas. They really are. In fact, I think they could be a lot better. I get it. The Stars need the game. But this is one of those games where I wouldn't bet the team just because they need the game. I think that price on a superior Carolina team, a Carolina team coming off a loss as well against Florida in overtime where they coughed up a lead. I know Dallas needs the points. But look, Dallas outshot Detroit by a million the other night. And they still needed to go to overtime to beat the Red Wings on Saturday night. I can only look to Carolina at that price.
I don't know why FanDuel does this, Babano, but as you stated, 125. Like, they have Carolina 126, and they have Florida 126. I guess they just don't like the 125 for whatever reason. Yeah. They're like, no, we're adding a cent to this.
They don't like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's a bizarro world. But hey, it is what it is. For the record, too, the Canes have been a pretty strong under team as well. 5-1 to the under in their last six hockey games. And it is true, but on the season, they're 22-19 to the under. But things are tightening up now, guys, in the NHL. It was higher scoring earlier in the year, but these games really count now. Everybody is jockeying for seeds and trying to get as many points as they can. It's like it's getting playoff-like in the NHL. But it's a good point, Babano. It's amazing how that Brindamore's teams play like him. Like, it's amazing. Like a lot of times there'll be a coach and be like, oh, the guy.
Time. Brindamore, and now his team plays that way.
But there'll be a lot of times where coaches will be a certain style of player, but they can't control the style that their team plays. Yet, Carolina, they've always just sort of mirrored his style. And he was a Carolina Hurricane. So it's great that, you know, they just have that system, and it's Brindamore that brought that system.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A battle on the other side.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Hey, technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's simple, really.
You have a choice.
Either listen to Sports Grid and get the winning edge,
or don't.
And get really good at explaining things to your increasingly impatient wife.
Happy wife, happy life, dude.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Brunson. We're talking Paxa right now with Babana. We'll see if Babana likes anything overnight as far as the diamond is concerned. But we're getting you caught up to date with some of these hockey futures as well as the overnight numbers as well. So Carolina Hurricanes minus 126 in Dallas. Dallas plus 108. Total is 5.5. Canes have been rock solid all year. And as we mentioned, they're 5-1 to the under in their last six hockey games. Florida Panthers on the road, Babana. With that that 126 on the board as well. Florida Panthers 126 on the road in Nashville. Total 5.5. Any opinion on this one?
Now, I like Florida a lot, but I don't know if I'll back them here. They're off the big win against Carolina. It was a big win for them in the standings there. The games matter for Florida, too. I mean, I know Nashville is trying to hang on for the final spot, so you know it's basically, you know, almost like a playoff game the rest of the season for the Predators. But Florida's still in a first-place three-way battle, them, Tampa Bay, and Carolina for first place in the Central Division. What a battle that's going to be. They're right neck and neck, all three teams. That's going to go probably right down to game 56, the final game of the regular season for all these teams before it gets decided. Nashville blew the game against Chicago. Remember, they were up 4-1, and then they lost in overtime, but they bounced back and beat Chicago in the rematch on Friday. They've had a couple of days off since then, back home against Florida. I think Nashville might be the side, and I would have never imagined, with how much I dislike this Nashville team and the way they were playing earlier this season, that I would be wanting to back them against Florida. But it feels like it could be a little bit of a spot that could be a little bit of a flat one for Florida, and Nashville's, you know, needing every game they can get right now. I'd lean Nashville, but I still have trouble betting it because I still think Florida is so much better than Nashville. That's the conundrum for me. But I'd probably lean Nashville. The spot really is in their favor. They've had an extra day off as well.
One thing we'll throw in, too, about Carolina, guys, if you think Carolina's for real, they have the third best goal differential in the league as well. So, like, they've outscored their opponents by 39 goals. They're third behind Vegas at 57 and Colorado at 53. So it's pretty impressive.
Like, by the way, Gabe, I got to chime in too. If people that think Carolina, because there's no big names on the team, that doing this with smoke and mirrors, it can't last. Well, if you believe in high danger chances allowed, high danger chances generated, expected goals margin on a per game basis, all those advanced numbers that I'm incorporating into my NHL betting daily, Carolina's near the top of the league in all those categories. Near the top of the league. Yeah. The eye test, it's when you watch them, they look like a good team. The advanced numbers bear out that they're a really, really good hockey team. There's nothing fluky to what the Hurricanes are doing.
Well, let's talk about the Winnipeg Jets and the Edmonton Oilers. This is a very big game. Very, very big game. So Winnipeg have two games in hand. And listen, Toronto was pulled away with the division, even though they had that little mini losing streak. They've pulled away. They've got 65 points. They're not going to get caught. Right. So the Toronto Maple Leafs are your Northern Division winners this year. But second place is important. You're talking about home ice here, Babana, with Winnipeg and Edmonton. Winnipeg are stumbling here into this matchup. What do you make of this game with the Edmonton Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets? It's basically a pick of minus 108. Total is 5.5. And as we talk about the standings, Winnipeg are in second place with 57 points. Edmonton are in third with 56. But Edmonton have played two less games than Winnipeg. So it's a big game for both teams here.
Big game for both teams. This is essentially a first-round playoff preview. I mean, these teams are almost a lock at this point to play each other in the first round.
So they're talking who's going to get home ice. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. This is going to be the two versus the three matchup in the North Division first round of the playoffs. The other matchup will be one versus four. It'll be the Leafs against either Montreal or Calgary. That's what we're looking at in the North Division first round right here. Edmonton, Winnipeg. Look, the Jets are off back-to-back losses to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They just played Toronto. And you're right. That pretty much means Toronto's going to win the division now that Winnipeg lost both. They had to at least split, if not win both, to have a chance to catch the Leafs. They didn't. They lost both games. And the big headline out of Saturday's loss was not only the loss, but Winnipeg benching, or Paul Maurice benching Mark Scheifele. He had a bad shift. He coughed the puck up in the offensive zone, was slow, you know, changing lines and getting off the ice, and it resulted in a John Tavares goal, and then Maurice benched him essentially for the rest of the game. And that's sending a message, because Mark Scheifele is a top-line player on this Winnipeg Jets team. And so when you bench someone like that, you're just trying to send a message. I think that could be a wake-up call for Winnipeg going into this game. They've been very good at avoiding three-game, four-game losing streaks. Look at Winnipeg's schedule this season. You can't find the three, four-game losing streaks. They've been very good at nipping skids in the bud. And I think they could do that here against Edmonton. They're a desperate team. They've lost two in a row at home to Toronto. You know, they've played Edmonton actually reasonably well this season. I know the Oilers are playing pretty good hockey. And look, it's not easy to go against Mike Smith right now. This guy's turned back the clock and had his best season in probably a decade for the Oilers. But I think from a spot perspective, I like the idea of getting Winnipeg in a huge, you know, leave it all out on the ice, bounce back situation off two losses at home at pretty much pick 'em, you know, even money with Winnipeg barely minus 105, minus 110 at home. I think I like the Jets here.
Here is another one, Babano. You got to know, you got to believe that the Jets know this and are focused on this as well. Listen, Edmonton have beaten them four straight times. They've beaten them four straight times, and they've beaten them five of the seven so far that they played. Man, I don't know why we're not richer. You look at this Canadian division. I'm telling you, Babano, like there's like how many of these rivalries are like, oh, yeah, they're 3-3. They're 4-4 this year. No. It's like almost every one of them is one-sided one way or the other.
So a lot of the Edmonton wins were close, though, against Winnipeg. Pretty close games.
Yes. Yeah, but still wins. They beat them 3-0, 4-2, 2-1, 3-2, 6-5. Like, yeah, you're right, a lot of one-goal games. Winnipeg beat them 6-4, and Edmonton beat them 4-3. So, yeah, no doubt about it. These teams are very evenly matched. The Ducks and the Kings, not quite as glamorous here. Not quite as glamorous this game. Ducks are plus 136. Kings are minus 162. Total is 5.5. And we have Arizona, who's hanging on to that playoff spot right now. So you got Arizona at minus 112 against the San Jose Shark team that's just in a freaking free fall right now, Babano.
So L.A. beat Anaheim the other night, and I thought going into that game, L.A., I didn't buy them being minus 160 favorites, but credit to them, they won. Now they're in the same price range, but now they've already beaten Anaheim, and now it's Anaheim trying to avenge that loss. Problem is Anaheim's just they are terrible right now, Anaheim. They're in a brutal run. Ryan Getzlaff's hurt now. They're already without Hampus Lindholm on the blue line, as well as Josh Manson, so two key blue liners. It's a team struggling. Even John Gibson hasn't played all that great lately in net for the Ducks, but I still have to give Anaheim a shot. You know, at plus 140, having just lost to the Kings a few days ago, it's not like L.A. is dominant enough to be in this price range. And Quick and Peterson and Nett have been average at times as well. I'd look at Anaheim there. Arizona, San Jose. I think Arizona's got to beat teams like this in order to make the playoffs. They beat L.A., a team that they're better than. They should have beaten. I feel the same way about San Jose. If Arizona's going to be a playoff team and get that spot over St. Louis, they got to win games like this. They were struggling, but they were playing good enough to win in a lot of those games they were losing. They finally got off the schneid, snapped the losing streak, beating L.A. They should beat San Jose. I expect them to. Just a question of, is the price going to be good enough to back the Coyotes? If it isn't, maybe I'll still look at them in regulation.
This is a weird series so far this year, guys, in which they've actually only played four times so far. Somewhat shocking, Babano, at this time of the year, right? Yep. But in other words, they're playing each other a lot, which actually could help Arizona's chances as far as the playoffs are concerned. And Arizona have taken three of four, but they haven't, like I said, they haven't played a lot. They played January 14th. Which I think was like opening night or something.
The Coyotes have Darcy Kemper back, and definitely they're a much better team with him back at number one goalie.
I like the Coyotes here, Rebecca. Like, looking at this, like I said, it's hard to say. It's hard to have a reason to want to bet on San Jose here. I know Arizona haven't played great hockey, but they're better. They're a better hockey team. They've won 3 of 4 against these guys. They're hanging on to a playoff spot right now. And I think they can take advantage against a team like the Sharks here. As you stated, they lost, but they played some good teams along the way, too.
Oh, they've had a tough schedule. You look at strength of schedule lately. We talk about that in the NFL all the time, but it matters in the NHL. Arizona's had to play Minnesota, Vegas, Colorado a lot the last few weeks in this division. And Minnesota's really been torturing Arizona. They just had no success against the Minnesota Wild. But now they're taking a step down in class. They shut out the LA Kings. They were dominant in that victory on Saturday night. This is another step down in class. We just saw San Jose lose 5-3 to Minnesota the other night. They're not playing very well right now. Martin Jones is back to struggling in net. What else is new there? He got pulled the other night. This should be Arizona's game.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, with us. All right, Babano, we've got about a minute left right now. Just taking a look at, we have some early baseball tomorrow. Kansas City and Detroit, the Detroit Tigers really struggling. 1-9 in their last 10 games. The Royals, 7-3 in their last 10. Keller versus Turnbull. And we've got the Twins and the Indians. That should be an interesting series. But early morning baseball, and I don't really see, like we were just sort of talking about San Jose, the Detroit Tigers are the equivalent here. Like, I don't really see a reason to be taking the Detroit Tigers in this spot.
No, but Brad Keller's been brutal for the Kansas City. And look, I was on Kansas City on Sunday. I don't want to take Detroit at all, and I'm not going to. But boy, it's a leap of faith taking Brad Keller. He's been brutal this season for the Royals. And Spencer Turnbull for the Tigers was one of their better pitchers, a less than 4 ERA. Not many Tigers had a less than 4 ERA as a starter last year, and he was very good in his first start this year. Detroit trying to avoid the sweep. It feels like a spot where if Detroit's going to win one, this could be it, but there's no way I'm betting it.
Ian.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Great stuff as always, Babano. We're going to catch up with you on the Wicked Wednesday, night before the NFL draft. Follow Ian Cameron on Twitter. Get all the links to all of his shows and videos at Babano. Thanks for the time, Babano.
Thanks, Gabe, as always. Thanks.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning?
Neither do we.
Thank God.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're a true player. You look for every advantage you can get. Congratulations.
You just found it.
The winning edge. Sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
For you.
I know, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
The late-night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 204. Shout out to our AM radio affiliate, Sports Grid Radio Networks. Great show this evening. Still a couple of things I wanted to get to tonight. I want to share a couple of NFL props that I played over the weekend. As far as the NFL draft is concerned, we're going to hit the NFL draft once again tomorrow night. And you know what? We'll hit the draft pretty much every night. So we got Rick Saratella tomorrow night from the NFL Draft Bible, who joins us every Monday, and he has been since the first Monday after the Super Bowl. We started diving into the draft right away, and we'll bring in some more guests on Tuesday and Wednesday And then Thursday we'll break down what happened. All right, so we know what happened with Usman. Usman destroyed Masvidal. Masvidal was classy in defeat after the fight. Said, this guy just has my number, man. He said, this guy has my number. It is what it is. Credit to him. So props to Masvidal for that. And we were discussing earlier as far as Usman, and everybody wants a piece of him, specifically Conor McGregor. But I don't really think it even matters what Usman wants. They're going to have to pay him anyways. And he'll get paid pretty well. Obviously, Conor, you can make more money. Conor needs to beat Poirier, though, to actually have big money fights in the future. You got to actually win. You can't just lose all the time. But Dana White said after, it's going to be Colby Covington. It's going to be, he said it. Like, Usman didn't seem too enthusiastic about it, but listen, Colby, compared to others, Colby gave him all that he can handle. Me personally, I'm not a fan of the constant rematches all the time. I think the UFC is reverting back to too many rematches. In the old days, it used to be cool. It was just next man up all the time. And now it takes years. And then guys that are waiting in line aren't as good anymore because they've been waiting 2 years because the same guys have been fighting each other over and over and over and over again. And it gets a little stale. And even Usman said that. He said, prove something. Get someone on a streak or like something. I think it's going to be Covington. I think it's going to be Covington. Dana said it's going to be Covington, and ultimately I think it will be. They always have that 4th of July card or around the 4th of July, so that could set up. I don't know if it's too soon, but it's not like Usman took any damage or anything like that. A lot of people in the MMA world believe that Leon Edwards is sort of getting screwed over. Edwards is a very big favorite against Nate Diaz. And then you've got Wonder Boy and Burns. So you'll see how things play out, Matthias. But I do think it'll end up being Covington. I think they think that, it'll make more money. I think they think that's the best fight. And, the 4th of July and all that type of stuff. But maybe Usman puts his foot down and says, I'm not doing it. But then he'll just get called out. He did break his jaw, but Covington did give him all that he can handle. As well, so I can live with it. I get it, but the whole point is how long are you going to make Leon Edwards wait, right? So is it all right, Edwards? If you beat Diaz, you're next up, because eventually this is getting stupid now for Edwards. So if he beats Diaz, is it next man up, or are they going to say, well, you only beat Diaz, right? Or are they going to say, all right, if Wonder Boy beats Burns, and then will they make Edwards fight Wonder Boy just to get one of them out of the way to shut them up? It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but it looks like it's going to be Covington, bro. And listen, you can argue he deserves it. Like I said, I'm kind of tired of so many rematches all the time, but Dana White said last night it will be Covington.
I don't mind this rematch, Gabe. I don't mind this rematch at all. I think this. I think it could sell the most pay-per-views compared to Leon Edwards. Nobody knows who Leon Edwards is. Leon Edwards has a knockout Nate Diaz and has to knock him out cold the same way Kamaru Usman knocked out Jorge Masvidal if he wants to jump the line. He needs to make a splash.
Yeah, but this fight, Matthias, shouldn't be the sport. And in the old days, that's what made the sport good, right? It wasn't about like who's going to draw and stuff. Because the whole thing is, bro, when you say that and people say this, you act like they're getting big money or something. They're not. You know what I'm saying? They don't get like that much extra more. There's been a few big money fights in the history of the UFC. Everybody always talks about, money fights. There's only a few dudes that draw in this anyways. And that's why I don't like the UFC. And that's why, it's sort of like football, bro. We don't play the NFL playoffs. That's college, where they pick and choose in the playoffs, right? Where they're like, oh, this team will draw more people on TV, right? This team is bigger, right? This team will make us more money, right? That's not sports. And fighting is like, that's why boxing has the Ali Act, so fighters can't get screwed over. And it is like the top, the top ranked guy fights. Should be the top ranked guy, bro. It's as simple as that, the top ranked guy. But the problem is the UFC rankings are a joke. Right, the media is a joke, and the rankings are a joke. And I shouldn't say the rankings are a joke. They used to be a joke. I think the media does take it seriously, but I should say the rankings are a joke because the UFC doesn't recognize them. It's funny, it's ironic because the UFC have their rankings on the website, but they constantly skip people in their rankings, so they make a joke of it. But to me, that's not what the sport's about, bro. The sport's about fighting the best guy that's on the best roll, not about the draw. Because the thing is, Leon Edwards might be able to knock him the F out. I'm not saying he would, but if he does, then he's a big draw. Right? So you're holding back, and it's short-sighted from the UFC. They hold back people because, you know, but whatever. The UFC doesn't care, right? All they care about really is money, and things are working for them now. But they haven't really developed stars. They don't do a good job at it anymore. They used to do better at it. They just sort of, they're less creative now, the UFC. Like, they basically just saw, let's have this guy fight this guy again. Like, Jake Paul is right. Like, there should be a John Jones and a Ngannou fight. You know what I mean? And, you know, Jake Paul even said 10 mil is funny, because that's what I said. Right? I said 20, $25 million. 10 million each, and then a bonus to 2.5 to the winner, 12 for the whatever. You know, make it happen. Right? Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I don't, like you said, you're looking forward to Poirier and Connor. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what does it mean? Like, Connor to Connor, it's just another whatever. It's a reason. It's just a chance for him to promote himself. Poirier's only doing it because he's making more money. So basically, like, we're talking about a sport now that the fighters don't even care about the belts. Like, that's what we've done. Like, that's what's been created. And that's what sucks. And then you get into, well, it's about the money fights, but they don't do the money fights. They just do the fights that they think they can win that are money fights. Like, Conor McGregor doesn't do money fights. Cowboy Cerrone wasn't a money fight. Diaz the second time, whatever. Nobody cares about seeing it a third time. He'd do it in a heartbeat. He'd do it in a heartbeat. Like, if you actually asked Conor, like, you know, if, like, you know, if it was Dana White and not, like, an interview, like Dana White in closed doors, and they said, all right, Conor, listen, you want to fight Usman or you want to fight Diaz a third time? He'd say, oh, Diaz. You know what I mean? Like, he's not taking the toughest fights. Like, so, like, Dustin Poirier's not taking, like, it's supposed to be as real as it gets. That's their slate, you know, as real as it gets. Toughest fights. These guys, none of these guys want to take the toughest fights. They all just sort of want to, you know, they want a fight that they can make money off of and that they can win. So, like, you know, like, that's why John Jones, I would give the guy a ton of credit, even if he got murdered in 10 seconds against Ngannou, because everyone knows he's taken a fight that he's in tough it with, right? But the thing is, a lot of people have taken fights against you, Jones, that they were in tough with, right? But, you know what I mean? Like I said, like, the I respect, like, you know, these guys are great, great athletes and stuff, but I respect the old Chuck Liddells, the Rich Franklins, you know, the Frank Mirs, just, you know, even Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar never ducked anybody once. You know, Brock Lesnar was one of the biggest names, like, you know, like Conor McGregor, you know, talks all the time. Brock Lesnar drew bigger than he did. You know what I mean? So Brock Lesnar never once, Matthias, once ever said, I don't want to fight that guy. And in fact, Dana White even, like, publicly said, yeah, I spoke to Brock the other day. I asked him, who you want to fight? And he said, whoever you can find that wants to fight me. Like, he didn't ask for this guy or that guy. He didn't say, oh, I'm coming back for, you know, give me this guy as a warm-up. He said, no. He said, whatever you got. Whatever you got, whoever you got, I'm good. Right? You think Conor says that? No. You think Conor does that? He doesn't do that. He's not like whoever, whenever. He's not a wherever, whenever guy. Dude, Conor McGregor, Matthias, and I'm not calling you out. I'm not, like, getting mad at you, Matthias, but I'm just saying, Conor McGregor wanted to fight Diego Sanchez, bro. Like, recently. Like, he literally wanted to fight Diego Sanchez. Like, I don't know if he was drunk and he was just texting Dana, but Dana White showed the text publicly. And he said, look at this guy. So this guy's asking to fight. And Dana responded. He goes, I don't even think they would sanction that fight. He goes, what are you talking about? You're not fighting Diego Sanchez. He said, oh, he's a legend. People would want to see it. Like, why do you think that Conor chose Diego Sanchez? Why did he fight Cowboy Cerrone?
I didn't really pay much attention to that call out. I just think Conor was sending him some love. I didn't believe
well,
that.
Well, who's Cowboy fighting next?
To me, Cowboy was a fight that Conor just kind of gave it to him.
I know, but who's Cowboy fighting next? Diego Sanchez, right?
the retirement fight.
Yeah, I know. And Connor just fought him. So you see what I'm saying? Like, Connor's calling out guys close to retirement, bro. Yet he's running his mouth to Usman. It's like, shut your mouth, bro. Like, Connor, like, really? Like, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one buys any of this crap, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you fought Cowboy Cerrone. Like, that's your last win.
I think Connor is one of the most skilled strikers that there is in the UFC. The guy could hit anybody, doesn't matter who it is. You know, Dustin Poirier, he got rocked a couple times before he finished off Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor's
lost. Yeah, but it's not about winning.
Dustin Poirier, you know, you're going to lose to those guys. When, you know, you live and you die by the sword. And in my opinion,
Conor McGregor. What about Nate Diaz?
Yeah, well, he got choked out. He got caught. He got cocky. It happens, man.
Yeah, but Matthias, winning matters as far as being great. Conor McGregor has some of the best striking ever in UFC history, yes. But he's not one of the greatest fighters in UFC history. He's made the most money.
But I definitely
but he's not great. So what? Yeah, Junior Dos Santos had great stand-up, too. You know what I mean? Like, Conor's great stand-up. He's 3-3, bro. Like, winning matters if you want to talk about greatest fighters ever. Like, if you want to talk about great fighters, you need to win and not lose. That's what made Khabib great. He did not lose, right? You can't say you're the greatest and, oh, I run the game when you're 3-3 in your last six fights. You know, like, it doesn't work that way. Right? Like, you know, like I said, I'm not saying he's not skilled. Yeah, so what? He's skilled. A lot of guys are skilled. Yeah, he's very skilled. But he's peaked. Conor McGregor is peaked. Right? Like, you know, I respect the dudes that'll really step up and fight anybody anywhere. There's not a lot of them. There really isn't a lot of them. Unfortunately, like I said, the old school dudes would. Like, Chuck Liddell wouldn't dodge anybody. Rich Franklin didn't dodge anybody. It was like next man up. You know what I mean? That was like the last era of that. Like the Frank Mirs, the Cain Velasquezes, the Brock Lesnars, the Nogueras, the Heath Herrings. Like they all just fought each other. Next man up. Next. Next.
Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
It's okay.
You found it. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Class, the quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Tonight was once again no exception. All right, listen, I promise we're really going to get into the NFL draft throughout the week, trust me. But I do want to share something with you. I played J.C. Horn, and I'm kicking myself because I saw 13.5 for J.C. Horn, and it was like it was shaded to the under. Right. So it was heavily shaded to the under. It's like -160 or something at 13.5 for cornerback, defensive back, J.C. Horn out of South Carolina. And I was thinking about pulling the trigger and I was looking at it. And I'm like, man, he's not lasting to 14. But it was like -160. I didn't play it. I swear I look in the morning and boom, it's 12.5. Right at you know, more respectable price, pretty much even money, but 12.5 right now. But you know what? I still can live with this. Surtain and Horn are both going to go pretty high. All right, look, you look at all these wide receivers that are being drafted, all these quarterbacks going to be drafted, somebody's going to have to defend them for years to come as well, right? And cornerbacks are at a premium. They're tough to find, especially elite guys. And these two guys are elite in Surtain and in Horn. And I'm really liking this. So I took them under 12.5. I like it. I think I might even put more on it now. I'm going to click. I think I might start double clicking. I'm getting crazy now with the draft. It's getting closer. But I see I see a story. So remember with the Dallas Cowboys, remember this year that stiff quarterback, Ben DiNucci, actually played once. Remember, so Ben DiNucci. And it was like, who the hell is Ben DiNucci, all right? They pulled a guy in off the street type thing. And turned out that Ben DiNucci played at the same school that Mike McCarthy's brother was a teacher of at, like in high school. Like McCarthy's brother was a teacher and this guy was a player there. McCarthy has been known for sticking with people that he knows. And I see here, McCarthy had a Zoom meeting with J.C. Horn, in which he talked about how he worked with his father, Joe Horn. J.C. Horn's going under 12 and a half. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Winning Edge benefit number 27. Not having to explain to your wife why you lost.
Sweet.
You're listening to the trusted source for gaming odds and more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.